Well, I'd appreciate your prayers tonight. I heard a little phrase this last week. Someone said that we need to take advantage of the opportunities that's presented. So I want to think about that a little bit tonight, about the opportunities that are presented. Sometimes, I suppose there's times that there's a large window of opportunity afforded to you. I feel like that I lost a big window of opportunity in my life when I, as a young person, took the attitude that education was just something to get through. My mom and dad didn't have high expectations for us, but neither one of them had graduated from high school. My mother ended up with a GED, but dad never finished high school, and their biggest goal for us was that we all finished high school. And they didn't really have a goal on how well we did or what we did, but just that we would get through high school. And so my goal was to get through high school, and I got through high school. But in the meantime, I skipped every learning experience that I could. I skipped on the things that I should have had. The school offered a great vo-tech. And after I got out of school, immediately I started looking for a job, and they was welding jobs, and the school free. I could have had a free education of a 3-year welding, 2-year carpenters. I mean, all of these block classes that you could have got into, mechanics and different things that they, and there was a good vo-tech part of the high school, and it was a part of the high school credits. And I took home ec 1 and 2. I took low grade, even though I was gifted more at math, and my ninth grade math teacher, you wasn't, if you had eighth grade math and you, ninth grade was math was set up to re-go through eighth grade math for people that couldn't do math to get credits. Basically what it was. And so I went ahead and got into ninth grade math instead of algebra or trig. And I get out of high school and I go into surveying. And you know what the basis of surveying is? Trigonometry. And you know, trigonometry, I didn't take the classes, and I was so lacking in so many things. And I actually had to take a typing class because I run out of options not taking any of the block classes. So I needed something. So I had to take a typing class, but I didn't need the credit. I just had to be at school. So I determined that I'm not going to do anything in this class that's meaningful. And I didn't get really past FGFGFGF. I got good at FGFGFGFGF. It was part of the process of learning, but I refused to learn it because I didn't need the credit, so goofing off was easier, and I wasn't going to apply myself. And lo and behold, it wasn't too many years after in my surveying, guess what come in? Keyboards. And I'm setting running stuff in with one finger after having a full year of typing. And I'm setting one finger that, and I honestly, I'm going to say to the young people, there is scriptural principles not to be like that. Whatever you do, do it with all your might. Don't look at life like that. Take advantage of the moments that you have. And this wasn't for eternity necessarily, but there's things that helps us along in life, and I would have been better off and more able in life if I had took advantage of that, and I didn't take advantage of the opportunity that I had. And I wish I had, and I want to tell you something about missed opportunities. And the window of my youth went by. My high school years went by very quickly. They went by, and I can't go back to those. That window of opportunity, young people, is going for a 61-year-old man. I can't go back and do the things that I once that I once done. I don't have the option anymore. The window is past that time for me to reintroduce myself into that situation. It won't work. So in thinking about taking advantage of the opportunities that God gives us in life, the time that the Lord gives us is very precious to us. We're still here. And there is an opportunity that will swing by. So I want to start with this scripture in Ephesians, I believe, is what I want. Ephesians 5, the 16th verse. I'll get to 15th. Seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Well, wait a minute. Walk circumspectly, not as fools. I'm assuming the given of that is that fools don't walk circumspectly. Fools don't pay attention. It says walk circumspectly. Circum or circular. It means you don't rush headlong to things. You take opportunity to look at it. You wait before you rush in, because a fool rushes in where a wise man feared to tread. You wait for the time, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. But there's time. We can't actually go back on time. But what this is meaning is picking up on the time, making sure that there's not lost time in here. Because the day is evil, and we need all of our time to make good decisions in our times. And many, many times, opportunities, folks, comes in small windows. I've seen times come by where there was windows for people, times of that. Brother Ed Wilson says, conviction won't last forever. You can weather through conviction. Conviction is actually a gift. Conviction is a wonderful thing. To feel conviction is a wonderful thing. And it's an opportunity. Many times, don't squander the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Don't squander the time, but walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as this is a gift in my time. So I'll tell you a little story. My dad, back shortly after I first got saved, a few years, my dad also got saved. And he lived for the Lord for a number of years very faithfully. Things happened, of course, at time and things like that. My dad ended up backsliding and going away from the Lord. And he wasn't with the Lord for many years. I was very concerned about my dad over the years. It was one of my sorrows of life, if you want to say, or burdens. I wanted my dad to be saved. It was a regular prayer and a regular thought that dad would find the Lord. And he kept getting older and older, and he had health issues, and he got older and older. And my heart and passion was always, when I went to see my dad, I hoped that we get the opportunity. Opportunity was what I was looking for. I wanted an opportunity that we could get serious, and he would get serious about his soul, that there was something I could do. I longed for it. I wanted to do it. It didn't happen. Do you know you can't make it happen? I mean, I wanted it so much to happen. I would try to get into it with him. It wasn't ready. It wasn't time. There wasn't the opportunity. So time after time, I was disappointed. Time after time, I was wanting that. And sometimes he would even get to a place where he would say something, or it would be a little encouragement. But there was all that. And it looked like as he got further, and it just didn't seem like it was going to happen. It wasn't going to happen. And then he fell ill, more seriously ill. He had a heart issue, and he got rushed to the hospital. And it seemed like it all went well. It was a clog something. They ended up operating and thought he would get out. But then there was complications, and he ended up in there. It was right in the COVID time, and the hospital policies was that one person could go one time a day. And so I visited Dad, I think, on a Friday, I believe it was, or a Thursday or Friday. I had visited him, and I remember thinking it was a long ways to go visit him, and I felt like that it was like, I think it was a Saturday, and I thought that I didn't want to be selfish. Other people wanted to see him, and there was only one person who could go one time a day, and I thought, well, I don't want to do that. And the Lord spoke to me. and inspired me with something to tell my dad. And a window opened. It was a small window, but there was a window opened, a space of time with an inspiration of God on it. And so I told the other ones around, I'm going to go see Dad. The opportunity, I was tired. I didn't want to drive that far. All of this, I ended up calling up my son, Marty. And I said, Marty, you want to go up to Morgantown? And he said, I'd be glad to go. And so we went up to Morgantown, and he wasn't even allowed to go in and see Dad, so he couldn't go see him. But I went in, and I had an inspiration of the Lord. There's something to tell my dad. And when I told him what the Lord had given me for it, he thanked me. And I said, Dad, it wasn't me saying that. That was the Lord gave me that to come and tell you. This is what the Lord wanted you to know at this time in your life. And he responded to that. After all of those years and all of that time, there was a space. God made this little window of opportunity. And if I hadn't have took advantage of the window of time, it wasn't very big. As a matter of fact, it lasted for about 2 hours. Was all that the window was open. And I was able to talk to him, and he had peace in his soul. Oh, it was, and I think of that space and that opportunity. Lord, help us not to discard the opportunities, the spaces of time. If you're here tonight or anywhere that this reaches, and there's things in your life, relationship problems and things in your life and things like that, can I tell you, don't miss the opportunities. You still have time. I know of too many people that lose someone and they have the great regrets of life that I never made my apologies. I never got to say, I love you. I never got to say, forgive me for that. I never got to do it. I want to tell you, take advantage of the opportunity that you're afforded. You was given life today, which in itself is an opportunity. If the window isn't open, we have the opportunity to petition the one that can open it. It's still an opportunity to seek the Lord to be able to open up this situation. I may have an aunt or a situation that I can't deal with, but I still have the opportunity to call upon God that he would open up this thing that it can be made right. Lord, help us to take advantage of the opportunities that God brings into our lives. Because there's too many times that we can let those opportunities slide on by. Just like I said, I should have been a welder. I could have been a good typist. Do you know, still to this day, I could use typing from time to time. I mean, I don't know how to type after having a typing course. Now, isn't that something? That's mildly important. But what really is even more striking, that I've been in the school of God since 86. I've been under his tutelage for a long time. And a lot of opportunities have come by. Have I taken advantage and said to the Lord in these places, Lord, what is it you want me to do? I have a regret that comes up in my mind from time to time. All I could do about it, there's no going back on your regrets. Lord, if there was something really there, I'm sorry. But one time, Brother Tony and I went to see an old sister named Queen Lazier. She was in Parkersburg in the hospital, and we went to visit her. It was one of the old saints. I didn't really know him. Some of them knew her. And we went to see her before she passed away. And we went and visited her. And we sang to her. And we prayed with her. And we had a little service in the room. Brother Tony and I did, best I remember. And I kept noticing that there was someone in the room across here, young to middle-aged woman would kept coming to the door and looking over our way. Time to time, she'd come over and look with a longing that way. And when we walked out in my youth, I say, and my being timid to approach people and those kind of things, when we walked out of there, I was followed. Brother Tony went and we said our goodbyes and we walked out of there, and she had walked to the door and we walked right on out with me with the strongest impression that there was a longing for something there. It was like there was almost an unsaid something there that was saying, we have a need here in this room. And I walked out of there and I never did do that. And I regret to this day. The worst thing that could have happened was that I was mistaken and they didn't need anything. Oh, how many times did I wish that I would have took advantage of this opportunity that I had with another person? Because I really believe the answer would have been, would you pray for my mother? Would you pray for my father? Whatever it was, I think there was a need there and a longing that they couldn't get it past. And I think it was right there. I think the Lord gave it to me. I recognize it, and I never want to do that again. If I can just approach, it seemed like there was a window there, possibly a soul for eternity. I don't know what it'll be. But I know this, I don't want to miss the opportunities that was given. And I thought some of you wasn't down there, but I enjoyed so much what Brother Clint was talking about, because God didn't give me really a gift for singing. I can sing along, but I don't really have the gift of singing. But I do have a gift of being able to go talk to people. I can give myself to it. And I had a gift for it. And I so enjoyed. I mean, it's one of the biggest enjoyments of my Christian experience to be able to take advantage of. It's almost like, okay, maybe not, but in my mind, God sent them by. It's their moment. It's a moment to be able to tell them something, read something. If nothing more, I get the great privilege of being friendly and kind to someone. I have the great privilege of offering to help them with their loads. And you want me to help you? All those kind of things. Nobody took me up on it. But it was nice to be able to interact with them. It was an opportunity. And I know that the window of some of these people. Yesterday I met Olivia and Millie, two little girls, and their mother gave them a track, and the two little girls were so friendly. Olivia and Millie, the window of our lives will never cross again, I almost guarantee you. I never got to that, but I got to be friendly and kind to those two little girls. I had a moment, a window, to make an impression. You don't know that maybe they might say to them, who was that guy? What was this? There was some Christian. What do you know? I don't know. But there's an opportunity, a window. Lord, help us not to miss those windows and opportunity. You know, I may only meet, I tell people sometimes, I meet them and it seems like we click so much, we get along so much. And I say, you're way off in Colorado somewhere. I say, I know I'm never going to, the likelihood that I'm ever going to see you again is very, very thin. I'll probably never see you again. God bless you. God bless you. I hope life's well for you. Go on. I had a window of time to be with somebody, just a moment, a little bit of a time, all the advantage of being able to do that. We have a greater window with some people. I've had more window with most of you all. I mean, I've been closer associated with that. I mean, I have a great window with my wife, have been, but there's still windows of opportunities and times and places. I'm 61. I don't get to be 40 again. I don't get to be 20 again. Whatever I've done at 20 is over. Whatever ground I made up, whatever good that I've done, all of that opportunity's gone. But now I get the opportunity of, if you want to call us, I'm a seasoned person. I'm seasoned. I'm older. I ought to know something. But I still have an opportunity. There's still a window. Redeeming the time. I don't have a lot left, so maybe I better run a little better. Maybe I can be kinder in all those things. I just want to, not everybody's got the calling, but I want to say to you, have the Lord to help us to be able to fit into our calling and take every opportunity we can to be able to meet that and use that for the Lord. I have some wonderful memories of things that the Lord has done. I met a man at the at the gas pumps in Greenbank. And there's not a lot of gas pumps in Greenbank. And I met a man there, and it was back when they was putting the pipeline, working on the pipeline, and he was a middle-aged man, and I got to talking with him, and this is not normally a man's conversation, but I got to talking with him and asked him how he was doing, and he said so, and I asked him what was wrong, and a little bit I learned that he had lost his wife a couple years before, and he told me, I just can't get over it. I loved her, and now all I want to do is just work and keep myself, and I'm just so troubled. I lost my wife and all this stuff. Of course, I lost my wife, and I had something related. And me and a guy I had never met before and never met again, for about a half hour, stood at the pumps and really connected with one another. And I talked about praying with him, and he told me about what his pastor had said, and I told him about this. And we went away from there with a hearty friendship that could be made in a half hour. I may never see him again. And all those things, but there was an opportunity to inspire, to encourage him on. I know how you feel. I sat there and told him a lot of his emotions and how to do it and how to conquer him and some of the things that he felt, because I had went through it. It was God ordained for a window. I'd have never known the window if I hadn't have said to him, how are you today? What are you doing? I mean, Lord, help us to take advantage of the windows of opportunity that pass by our way. There's a scripture over in Ecclesiastes 11 or 9 and 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet rich to men of understanding. I think, before we go on, what the wise man is referring to is that those moments to where the fastest man don't win. There's always these unforeseen things in life. And the fastest man gets up there and he's pride and arrogancy. I'm going to outrun everybody. And the first step, he steps in a pothole and twists his ankle and he's done. And nobody can withstand that. You can't know that. There's been people that had great abilities of business and those kind of things that failed over and over because of circumstances and things that happened. Well, the scripture goes on to say, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance, and the word chance there, and you can look it up yourself, but the word chance there is probably more accurately described as time and opportunity happen to them all. There's no chance in God's world. It's not a chance, but there is time and opportunity afforded to everybody. We have within the possibility of the race or whatever, there's always the window. God gives us a chance and a time to do things. If you look at Ecclesiastes, what is it, third chapter, second chapter? Anyway, it says there's a time and a season. There's a time and a season for everything under the sun. There's a time for love. There's a time for hate. There's a time for peace. There's a time for war. There's a time to plant. And there's a time to harvest. And there's a time to pick out stones. And there's a time to throw stones back. And there's a time in all of life. There's a time for all of these kind of things. And it'll happen to all of us in life. There's a time and a season for those things to happen. And if we don't take care of the opportunity and the window over there, it may never come by again. And I'll venture this. There was a woman one time at a well. And Jesus said to his disciples, I need to go by Samaria. Remember? And he sent his disciples off to get food. And Jesus went to the well, and a woman was at the well, and she was a Samaritan woman. And the woman was quite, perplexed that Jesus even spoke to her. And she was a Samaritan woman, and she wanted to know why a Jewish man would talk to a Samaritan woman. That was odd. That was a strange thing. Why would you, being a Jew, speak to a Samaritan? We have no dealings with you. Why are you talking to this? I just would like to introduce this. Do you think Jesus ever saw her before?
Do you think he ever saw her again? I don't think it was ever recorded again. Jesus said, I need to do it. And he went by and he had a purpose and a mission. But I'm going to tell you, that was a very small window. That window wasn't very big. She could have run away from that situation. She could have neglected him. She could have went away from him. But there was a moment and a time there that the Lord had come to deal with that woman. That was her time. It wasn't before and it wasn't after. This is the time. You know, folks, sometimes we have, God brings us just like my dad. Thank God. What a merciful, loving God that he brought my dad to that point and gave that opportunity at the end of his life. Thank the Lord for it that he did. And there was a Samaritan woman. And was she an upstanding citizen? Was she the cream of the crop? Was she? I'm going to tell you, she had five husbands and the man she was with wasn't her husband. Jesus brought it all around. You think, well, why was Jesus going? That's exactly who Jesus is going to all men. He doesn't look at it like we do. We all need saved. And he makes an opportunity and a place for us. You know, we can neglect that opportunity. We can put away that opportunity. And we may never get the opportunity like that again. Now, I know that it said that Noah, that the Lord wouldn't strive with men, the day shall be 120 years. I think it took Noah a long time to build that boat, and he preached to him. And I know we could say that there was an opportunity there. But I'm going to tell you, there was an opportunity lost. Because there come a time that the opportunity run right up, the window of opportunity run right up. The opportunity was there when Noah was, what are you doing, Noah? The Lord has said this. This is what's going to happen to all the crazy old man out there building a boat. I mean, this is ridiculous. And all that he was doing, and they could have ridiculed him, they could have run him down or whatever. But there come a distinct time before the rain started, before the cataclysmic event of all the time of the earth happened. Before that happened, the door shut. God shut the door, signifying the closing of the opportunity. You had an opportunity that run up to this place, but you don't have that opportunity anymore. If you don't take advantage of the time when it's there, many times it'll be gone. And many of you have heard me say this, but I think it's so valid to us to understand. You're not as in control of yourself as you think you are. And you can think that I want to be saved. And one of these days, I'm going to be saved. You can think that because of the way you feel at the moment. You may feel like, you may feel very strongly that you want to be saved. But that doesn't mean that you'll always feel that way. So there was an illustration in the scriptures where Jesus said unto the Jews, we piped unto you, but you didn't dance. Well, there's a great illustration in this, because I know my children, you'll ask my wife, but my children, when music would play when they were little, do you know they start moving? I mean, really, there's something about music. One of the fellows that was singing with us down there, he was moving to the singing. We kind of squelched that somewhat because of we don't want to be fleshly, right? We don't want it to be about the flesh. But I do want to say this. There is a natural tendency to move with music. It is swaying. It's moving to you. And so Jesus says, we piped to you, but you didn't dance. Now, there's a real thought here. If you're not going to dance when there's music, are you going to dance when there's not music? What makes you think that you're going to dance when there's no music if you didn't dance when there was music? And the Lord was saying this to them, we piped to you, but you didn't dance. When are you going to dance then? If you don't dance with the music, you're never going to dance. And you can say right in the heat of the Spirit working with you, I want to be someday. But if you don't dance, you're not going to dance when the Spirit ain't working with you. And he said, we wept, we lamented, but you didn't weep. Now, we all know that weeping's contagious, right? You and people that you love and they start crying, a lost one, you cry. Crying can be very contagious. We can see the sadness and sorrow. Our tears will do it. And they said, right in the moment when you should have been touched, your heart should have been touched, we were weeping. And you didn't weep. What makes you think you're going to weep when there's not weeping going on? When the whole world's laughing and carrying on, you're going to weep? You didn't weep when the weeping was going on. I'm going to say, to me, the Lord was trying to say to us, there's an opportunity, a great opportunity for dancing. It's just an illustration, folks. Don't get up in the halls of me. But there's an illustration. The illustration is that there's an opportunity, a great opportunity, an opportunity with feeling and passion. And there's a great opportunity for you to move and get the needs met. And if you don't meet them at that time, what makes you think you're going to move out and get it done when you didn't do it when the opportunity was golden, when it was ripe? And it was, it's the time. It's the time. If my dad hadn't went through that window, he couldn't have went through any other window. It was time. The inspiration of God was sent to him. It was inspiring. God, he moved to that because it was a window of that time. I want to suggest to you today, don't miss the window of opportunity that God gives us to speak to our hearts, to move on us, to give us the victories that we need to have, to bring wholeness in our life. And there'll be a time that the Lord's going to be able to speak in those kind of times to say to us, take care of that need of your family. Take care of that need of asking for forgiveness. Take care of that bitterness that's in you. This is the window of opportunity. I got my finger on this. Take care of it. Okay, there's a scripture. I'll go ahead and get that. Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins. 25 and 1. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. How many? 10. It says 10 virgins. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, what was it that designated? I will introduce this to your thinking. I think that the 10 virgins by sight, if you lined them all up, you couldn't have told which one was wise or foolish. There's no indication there at all that you can know the difference by observation. That wasn't what made them foolish. But what did make them foolish was the five wise ones were wise because they had the time and opportunity to fill their vessels. And they did. They had the window of opportunity, the space, the time, the effort, the energy. God made it possible. It wasn't outside their capability or possibility. All of it was within the window of the opportunity God had given them in life. You can fill your vessels. And they were wise enough to take advantage of the opportunity of that window that come by them, that they had oil at their disposal. They had the money to buy it. They had the opportunity. They fulfilled that and took advantage of the opportunity that was sent their way. The 5 foolish ones had the opportunity, they had the money, they had the space, they had the time, they did all of it, but they did not take advantage of the opportunity to fill their vessels. That's the difference between wise and foolish. Right there in a nutshell, that's the difference between the wise and the foolish. The wise redeemed the time. They walk circumspectly around things. They look and they say, I'm going to need this. I'm going to need this. The best definition of wisdom, folks, to me, is the ability to be able to, the scripture says, a little slumber, a little sleep, a little of the folding of the hands will bring you to poverty. That's wisdom. It says that if I take this action, this is the outcome. This is what wisdom is to us. If I come down and I'm going to possibly need oil, the wise would say, I better get it. I need to get it because the outcome's going to be bad if I don't have enough oil to get me through this. Lord, help us. You have an opportunity. Everybody, under the sound of my voice, has a window of opportunity. Make sure your vessels are full. He's promised it to us. He'll give it to us. If you lack wisdom, He'll give you wisdom. If you lack understanding, He'll give you understanding. He's there to give. He's made promises. He'll take care of those things. And there's an opportunity there to be able to get those things. It's up to us. Many times with what we do with it. I can't make the opportunity. But when opportunity is there, it's for me to take advantage of that opportunity and do everything I can within that window of opportunity to get it right. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Well, it's not unwise to sleep when your vessels are full. But it's kind of foolish to go to sleep when you got a need. When your vessels are not full and you're going to wake up with an empty vessel. And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, was there an opportunity at that point? The window had kind of closed, hadn't it? I don't know, how fast are you? I want to know what shops open at midnight. I want to know where the possibility was at. This whole scripture is talking about the idea that they run out and there was no possibility left. There was no place to get any oil left. They were foolish. It was just foolish to do it. I say openly, I think, looking back at the years, hardly now. It's not the biggest thing in my life now. I have my lessons on it. God can always help us through anything. I think it's foolish to have went through school and not learned anything. I think it's foolish. I was a foolish person to do that. I think it's foolish, too, to go through our days not taking advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. There is a depiction. You all may have it up this way. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure out this far in Ohio, but it definitely in closer you get to West Virginia and Kentucky, there's definitely some of them. But you all ever seen the three crosses? The three crosses. There's quite a story behind those three crosses if you've ever heard that story. I reread that story just recently, and there is another, I think a woman from Georgia that actually took up that cause and wants to revitalize those crosses and keep that going. But the story behind that man, he lived very close to where I grew up, the man that had that. And he was a very, very wealthy man. I think he made his money in the stainless steel industry of some sort. He was a very wealthy man. And he had a heart attack. This is his story. He had a heart attack and he was rushed in and he supposedly died on the operating table. They brought him back. And when they brought him back, his testimony was that he had a vision. While he was in that situation, he had a vision. And the Lord come to him and told him that this is what he wanted him to do. And he wanted him to set these crosses. He told him what color to make them, how far to set them apart, how big they were to be, how they were to be made. And he was to put them everywhere that he could put them. Now, I don't know about that story. You'll take it as well as I do. I can't look into anything any more than that. But that was what the man's... And he spent... His family was very disturbed by it because the man spent all of his great fortune doing it. I think they even tried to get him called incompetent and something to stop him, but he went ahead and spent... My brother actually worked doing it. I mean, my brother was one of them that put the crosses up and redid them, painted them and all that. He worked for him for a while, and they did it all over the place, and they set them up. And I'm just saying that is the story. This is what this man's passion was. And be honest with you, I kind of like it. I don't know about the story, and I don't know about that.
But to me, I'm kind of like Paul when he said to them that was even contentious about it. You know, whether you preach Christ with pretense or sincerity, Christ is preached, let it go. I mean, to me, if you're going to put up that emblem, because you know there's a real statement in that, if you really get to the understanding of what that is, there's quite a statement in those three crosses. You know what the statement is? That there's a Savior. There was a Savior on that middle cross right there. And on both sides, there was mortal men. And it depicts the opportunity for salvation. And it depicts the choice that man, that suggests that there's salvation, and it's your choice. Because one of them on there took advantage of the opportunity. Can you imagine the window? He was a thief, wasn't he? Wasn't he a malefactor? He was a thief. I don't know. Was he a murderer? He was a thief. He was a bad man. And he deserved what he was getting. And yet a window opened. Thank God. Thank God for us sinners when we were sinners. Thank God that we had a way out. But on there was an opportunity. But do you know that the same opportunity was for the other man too? The opportunity was wide open. That's what that depicts is. You think it's by chance that the Lord... Why isn't there just one cross in the depiction? The one of Jesus, that's the one that mattered. No, he wants us to have a vision of three crosses because I'm on one side or the other of that somewhere in my life. I'll get the opportunity and I'll either say, remember me, Lord, have mercy on me, or I'll be one that rejects the Lord because there was the opportunity. Every one of us that ever lived will have an opportunity to reject the Lord, I believe, or accept him. And here is the opportunity presented to us. I can either say, yes, Lord, help me here in this time. I believe that many times, Lord, help us to get a spiritual eye on it, because I believe many times we're dull of hearing. We're not spiritual. We're not hearing that still small voice. We're not in the place that we should be. And if I'm not testifying of you, I'll just testify of me. There's been times in my experience I wasn't in the place like that I needed to. And the Lord, by his grace and mercy, got my attention. And he got my attention with something that I didn't really want to go through. But it got my attention. It got my attention, and it was a great opportunity for me to get back in line. To evaluate or walk circumspectly. The Lord called me to a circumspection of my own life. He called me to circumspection to say, here's the opportunity. Which way are you going to go? I'm going to let you hit the crossroads again. Here you are. If you keep wandering or keep going, you're going to go. Here it is. And oh Lord, I don't want to go away. Lord, bring me back. Help me here in this place. What an opportunity. Thank God for the opportunity that the Lord give me for those things. And the Lord will continue giving us opportunities, I believe, in life. But there is places, though, in times, we mentioned the scripture last night, the King Agrippa said, almost, thou persuadest me, O King Agrippa. Will you ever be almost persuaded again? Are you sure that you'll dance? This music's playing loud, King. It's time to dance. You may never feel like dancing again. This might be the opportunity. This might be the opportunity that says where you're going to be at forever and ever. So Lord, help us tonight to take advantage and realize that time is precious. Time is precious. You know why thievery is so bad? You know why it was always in history? It's been bad. It's a bad thing. It's because in actuality, it steals someone's life. You ever think about that? I only got one life. I about have to have a lawnmower. So if you steal my lawnmower, and I make $10 an hour, and you steal my $100 lawnmower, I've got to spend 10 hours of my life to replace my lawnmower. And you just stole 10 hours of my life. Now, a mower ain't that big a deal, but when you start talking about my time,
Time is precious. Time is precious because within that time can be the opportunity that God would work with our lives. In that time. That's why it's a bad thing to do it. But Lord, help us to take advantage of the opportunities that come by our way. We have an opportunity to love and appreciate one another. We also can bite on one another. But I have an opportunity to send a card of encouragement, to pat a brother on the back, to tell somebody I'm with you. I got an opportunity to be an encouragement. I got an opportunity to go through this life with the idea that I'm going to be a blessing if I can. I got an opportunity. Everybody that the Lord allows me to meet is an opportunity for me to do something. I want to tell you something. We like to look at the world sometimes. Oh, devil will do this and say that people are bad. Well, we are fallen, but people are bad. But I want to tell you that in my experience, it's somewhere between 90 and 99% of the people that I contact in a day, even though they look like they're fighting mad or they're mean or they don't want to talk to you, 90 to 99% of the people that I approach and talk to will smile and talk back to me, and I can immediately get a friendly conversation out of most everybody that's out there. And there's a lot of people that hurt, and there's a lot of people that have needs, and there's a lot of people that are... I talked to almost everybody. I pulled up one time, and I'm going to suggest to you, if you're not really interested in people, don't act like you are. I pulled up to a McDonald's one time, and there was a young lady there, and I'm by habit talking and all, and I said to her, "Well, hello there." "Yeah, hello." And I said, "Well, how are you doing today? You have a good day?" She broke into tears, started bawling. I don't know, broke up with a boyfriend or something, and here I've got an incident at the McDonald's talking or something. Well, I asked her how she was doing. If you don't want to know, don't ask. But I'm saying in a sincere way, well, about all I could do in the line was say, "We'll pray for you. I'm sorry that you're having a bad day," but something like that. But somebody cares. I actually had somebody say to me one time, I said to him, "Well, how are you doing today?" And they was like, "Well, thank you for asking. You're the first person that ever asked me how I'm doing." Just like a robot, just somebody there. "Well, how are you doing?" It meant something that there's somebody that might care. What are we here for? Lord, help us to take advantage of the opportunities. I was telling somebody today, I like to wear a West Virginia shirt when I'm out a long ways off. No, it ain't that I'm proud of West Virginia. That's not my point. I do like West Virginia. But I wear the West Virginia shirt because it's a conversation piece. I've had people say, I had one guy in Maine holler across a group of people, "Hey, West Virginia!" I turned around, this guy from West Virginia, had a West Virginia hat on, and got to talking with him, and we had a connection. His dad had a camp in the county I grew up with. It was amazing. You meet somebody in Bar Harbor, Maine. But I have that for the connection, because otherwise you don't know what it is. And I want to say exactly the same way is if we never take advantage of the opportunities to do this, then there's so many things slide by. I won't take much more of your time. But I had a phone number one time that seemed like it would have been an aggravation. It was back... It wasn't like the way you pay phone bills now. You know how you used to pay a lot of money for calls long distance? I mean, you remember how it was. And so I got this deal to where I had this number, and it was a toll-free number for me to call back home. And the reason I got it is because when I was out on the road, I had to use payphones. And you use payphones, it was really expensive to call home. And so I had a number where I could call home with a 1-888 number. Well, that's not the common in people's mind of a toll-free number. It's 1-800. So my number, 1-888, and then the next digits, there was a 1-800 number that was a clinic somewhere up in New Jersey, right? And so I would get calls, they would get it wrong. That's the opposite, but they would get it wrong. I would get calls for that clinic. And so I got a call one time. Her name, I think, was Martha, an older lady. And she called and she asked for service. And I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I think you're trying to call the clinic and this is what you did. You should have called 1-800, but you called 188. Oh, I'm so sorry. And I said, but ma'am, how are you doing? No good. No good. And what's wrong? Oh, I've been this and this. And I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. Well, we'll be praying for it. And you know, I had the best conversation with this woman that called. I'm not suggesting, if it's not for you, but I'm not suggesting that you have to do. But most people, wrong number, calling up, telemarkets was, now they ain't now. They're just robots. But they used to be the real person behind that phone with a real soul and people that you could actually talk to. They really was. And there was an opportunity there for me to be kind, to wish them well, to bless their life, to say, I'll pray for you. You'd be surprised how many telemarketers I've had great conversations with about the needs of their life. It wasn't hard to get into it with them. They were in need. And it was there. It was an opportunity. I had the best conversation with a guy named Gilbert that hacked my uncle's Facebook page. He hacked it and got a hold of me. And he was from Nigeria. And I had this great conversation. He felt guilt about it. I got into conversation with him, told him, you don't have to live that way. God's got something better for you. And he said, if I had anything, I wouldn't be doing this. I'm so ashamed of myself. He said something like, I'm a 4-point whatever. I graduated, I'm an accountant and all this and don't have work. I got to do something. This is what I'm doing. I'm so ashamed of myself. And I said, you don't have to give in to that. The Lord can. And I had the best conversation with this guy that hacked somebody. I called him my friend. I said, friend, you don't have to do that. I said, you can get in contact with me because you know who I am. You just did. And I want to give you the liberty. Call me sometime. If you need something, I'm here for you, friend. I help you with this. You don't have to do this. I did talk to him one time. After that, it was all gone, but it doesn't matter. There was an opportunity for a soul. You don't know what that might mean. The Bible tells us about our good conversation that in the day of their visitation, God would be glorified. Maybe God will deal with him one time and he'll remember back and I don't have to live this way. There's opportunities all the way around us, is what I'm going to say. For the kingdom of God, it's the fullest, happiest life. It's the best thing to do is to serve others. It's to take care of these opportunities and take care of the opportunities that come that the Lord wants to speak to us about our own lives. To enlighten us about the needs that we have in our own life. And to be able to say, yes, Lord, that's what I am. Help me with that and take advantage of the opportunities that come. People in the financial world will say sometimes that great opportunities, I'm talking about investors and things like that, those will say that the time and the opportunity come by very, very, there's a very small window and it comes by rarely. And so these people are looking for this company that's starting, this good idea, something they can invest in because most of them flop, most of them fail. But sometimes there's a window to where you can invest in and make it in. But they say the opportunity only comes by once, maybe twice in a lifetime. You get that opportunity. I'd hate to miss the most important opportunities that would come by in my life and that they come and went. And I never took advantage. There was a man in the scriptures who was blind. And there was a commotion going on. And he said, what is this? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Oh, what a window. He never passed by before. And once he's gone, he's not coming back by. The window is a space of what a man can walk. And he starts crying out because within the window, Jesus could hear within the window. The man wouldn't shut up. They tried to get him to shut up, but his window was there. This is my opportunity to get help. This is it. A man looked for an opportunity one time at the well of Bethesda. He tried and tried to get into the pool, but he couldn't get into the pool. But then there was an opportunity where Jesus, the very healer, was standing right there by him. He'd never been there before. He wasn't there again. But for this man, there was a moment, a window that was right there. Man, what hinders you? I have nobody to help me into the water and somebody always gets ahead of me. Here's your opportunity right here. This is the opportunity that you have. You won't get it again. I wonder how many people in the days that Jesus walked by did not have faith to believe. They did not move out on it. And the opportunity, the window of their opportunity came and went unnoticed by the populace and went by. And for eternity, they never got the help that they really had. Lord, help us to take advantage of the opportunities the Lord sends our way. You pray for us.